best place to be. We got the AC rocking in here, so praise the Lord for that. Amen. Jumping for joy. We got the window units at our house. Amen. Those that have central air, praise God, that's a good investment this time of year. You know, not so good investment in December. Praise God, but amen. Feels good in here today. But if you are a guest or maybe you're visiting here and you haven't been here for very long, just to introduce myself, I'm Pastor Brad Holford. I'm the associate pastor. And man, I'll tell you, if you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Tim, you want to come back and meet him. He's the man anointed for this work. He is my pastor, the pastor of this congregation. And he couldn't be here today, so he had asked me to minister, which I count that a great honor to be up here in front of you guys and praise the Lord. But I just invite you, you come on back and you hear Pastor and meet him. I know that would mean a lot to him. But the Lord's put some things on my heart this morning that I trust that you're going to pull on those things, and let's just get everything the Lord has for us. Amen. There's three parts to every service. There's the God part, which is always perfect. Then the minister has a responsibility to get in the Word of God. But then it comes the congregation's time. And I'll tell you what, you know, there's different offices that ministers stand in. There's the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And, there's those that have giftings to be able to minister the Word of God. And there's a gifting there, but if you don't care about the gifting, then you're not going to receive of the gifting. A meal can be prepared on your behalf, but if you're not a partaker of the meal, might as well not even have made it. Because a good, Christian posture would be to come hungry for the things of God. And we see that biblical principle throughout the Word with a woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus. I love using those. Those are good preaching opportunities. But they came with faith and expectation. And, well, we're just going to church, man. We're going to dodge a few, the heat bullet out there, and we're going to sit in a nice congregation, and we're doing our religious part. Well, you need to come expecting. You need to come hungry for the things of God. There's got to be some drive and motivation other than just showing up. Praise God you're here, and I'm grateful for that. And some of you, I know, it can be a trial to even make it here sometimes. And I'm telling you, the world has a laundry list of reasons why you shouldn't be here right now, but you came. So you might as well get hooked up with what God has for you and just leave blessed. There's got to be some deciding factor in the Christians nowadays that they deem it worthy to get up and go. They deem it worthy that says, you know what, the last thing I want to do is go to church right now, but I'm deciding to because I'm going to side myself with the side of right. I'm deciding because this is sacred and holy to God, and it's not about me, but maybe the one sitting next to me, that I'm going to decide that I'm going to do my part and I'm going to be there because I recognize that the full function of the body of Christ is many members working together to complete the body. And so whatever part you're connected to or you are, make sure you're connected to the body and you bring a supply. Well, I'm just insignificant. Maybe, I'm up there in age. Maybe I've been saved all my life and I'm just doing my part to fill a seat. No, you got more purpose than that, and God's put more purpose on the inside of you. So don't underestimate what's the potential on the inside of you. You all have a supply to bring continuously, and so it matters how you show up. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's some things that I have in review and some things that I want to share. But when I was doing the tithes and offerings, man, I'll tell you what, that spoke to me. That came to me this morning when I was, meditating and doing some of those things. You have a Father that knows. You have a Father, and this is very interesting because we've been studying along the lines of dominion. And we looked over there in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And it says that he made Adam after our likeness and after our image. And it says he created them male, female. And it says that he gave them dominion over the cattle, over the fowls of the air, over the fish in the sea. And then it goes on to say that he says, have dominion and subdue or conquer those things. So Adam came from the point of entering a hostile environment because it was after the fall of Satan. God knew something about Adam and his purpose based on the circumstance that had already played themselves out in that manner. So the primary reason, well, God created man to love them. Yes, he loves them. God created man for fellowship. Yes, absolutely he did. But the primary reason why he created man was for dominion and to subdue. And it's interesting to me because, see, Adam, when he sinned to Satan, he came as the serpent and he ate of that fruit. He blamed the woman, Eve, because she was deceived, gave to Adam, and he ate and his eyes were open. God came walking through the garden. Adam, where are you? He says, we hid ourselves because we were naked and we were afraid. And he's like, who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of that tree which I commanded you not to eat of? But the interesting thing to me is that Adam and Eve were in a place of crowned dominion before they ate of that tree, and God came walking into the garden to fellowship with Adam. Because sometimes we have the perception that, okay, God, I've been granted dominion. I have authority over principalities, powers, mights, dominions. I have authority or power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so I'm somehow secluded by myself, just swinging at the air. Like something's got to happen. I know I got authority, but what is it that I do? But God never intended to break the fellowship with mankind. He came walking into the garden to fellowship with Adam. So in other words, it's not, I give you dominion, good luck. Figure it out. I've given you something, I've crowned you and give you dominion, good luck with that. And if somehow you mess up, there's gonna be consequences, see you later. Dominion is based on the one that orchestrated it. And the fellowship between the Creator God, who he established through Jesus Christ, and you walking in the fullness of those things has to be in fellowship with the Father. Not only an understanding of how authority works, but the backing behind it, because you have a personal, in-depth relationship and knowledge that I'm now moving as he says to move, like Jesus said, I do only what I hear him say. I say what I only hear him say, and I do only what I see him do, because the fellowship gives me the rightful ground of my authority to effectively work. Because if I have to rely on the arm of the flesh, I'm gonna be capped at the knees. And I'm gonna wonder why it's not working, and I'm gonna start pointing a finger at him because you gave me this dominion, and for some reason it's not working. There has to be the fellowship with the Father. I preached this sermon last night at Erie. This is not what I preached last night. Because there's revelation that comes that you have to understand that there's a Father God that has given you something, and he hasn't said, good luck. I was joking with the kids. So both Aaron and Amelia went with me today. We go through Tim Hortons, and Aaron gets his birthday cake, Timbits, and Amelia gets her chocolate chunk cookie. And so we come in, and I said, you know what? It's so hot. I said, just drop me off, and you guys park the car. Now, that could be a fun picture right there. I've seen him on Power Wheels. He does pretty good. But yet, there is a tool of that vehicle, which is a blessing to our family. But because I haven't just turned over the responsibility without walking through him through time and age, I don't put that demand on him, because his lack of knowledge would crush him. In likeness, we're walking through this earth getting the understanding of our authority that we have through the Word of God and the promise he has for us. But our fellowship with the Father brings the maturity out of us that he works with. Don't do that. That is for you, but let's work according to your faith right now. Let's move according to what you can be entrusted with, because I'm not, as a rightful father and God, putting something on you that is out of your realm to walk fully into. God is a good God, and He's not going to demand something of you and of a price to pay that you can't possibly pay at this time. So we come together to learn and understand the Word of God, Jesus being the Word of God, that we can have an understanding of Him. But you need to gain the confidence of that relationship, and stems from the relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I saw that when I was saying, like, even Adam, when he sinned and he hid himself and he was naked, God still came walking face to face, God and Adam. He came walking to fellowship. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Well, we hid ourselves. We're naked. Well, who told you that? Did you eat of that tree? Obviously knowing that. But it was customary for God to be in that fellowship. He placed someone with a responsibility after the fall of Satan. There was a great responsibility that was in place. And it wasn't a good luck, see you later. Come by when you need something. Figure this all out on your own. And whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with, you are not alone. There are answers, and God moves in the realm of answers. Whatever situation you're going through, God's not demanding you to figure this out and fumble through the dark like, oh man, pulling levers and pushing knobs. And, well, do I release my faith? And how do I go? Well, what word? I don't even know the word. And do I go to church? Do I not go to church? Do I, and all these things. And it comes down to the heart saying, you know what? Just let me be a kid for a while. Just let me be a kid for a while. Let me stand before you, God, and just fellowship with you. And that takes highest priority. Maybe I don't have it all figured out right now. Just let me be a kid for a while. Let me come before you in fellowship so I'm not beaten down with the technicalities of do's and don'ts and the condemnation tries to come. This is the balanced side of the authority. And this didn't get spoken last night, and maybe it should have. And I appreciate the utterance that's coming forth out of this, because this is the reason why. God crowned Adam and gave him dominion. And he says, force, subjugate, conquer this world. And there is an attitude that is required in the Christian to do just that. And sometimes people will be like, well, I'm just going to sit on the couch and wait for something to good happen to me because I didn't swear today. No, it's going to require some of your effort. But allow God and the Holy Spirit to navigate you through that, because that is the most vital tool. You can hear that you have dominion, but without the fellowship of the Heavenly Father, you're trying to figure these things out on your own. We have to come to that place where it's like, man, I don't know so much about dominion authority. It's been given to me. But right now, all hell's crashing down on me right now. I need one thing alone, God. That's it. You run and you grab hold of Him. You press into Him in ways that you've never pressed into Him. You go to church. You seek Him. You read your Bible. You may not understand what you're dealing with and what you're going through, but you press into God first and foremost, because He is Father God first and foremost in your life. Don't base the authenticity of God the Father through my mismanagement of the dominion that He's given to me. I'll take responsibility for where I'm falling short. This isn't a reflection on Him if I miss it. The main thing is that I recognize that this is a plan of dominion that He's put in place for my life, and whether I get it all or not, I'm still recognizing that the one true God is stationary and solid in my life. And so I force and press into the fellowship with Him as much as I do the responsibility of my dominion here on earth, because He will see it through the more I recognize my Creator Heavenly Father that is backing me through that authority. Where did the authority come to? I've given you authority. Trample upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means hurt you. Where'd that authority come from? The one that invented this whole system of operation. So not only do I embrace what was given to me, I embrace the Creator first and foremost as my guide, the Holy Spirit as my intercessor, advocate, my standby, my strengthener to help me navigate through this circumstance or situation, to help navigate me through this life, that I'm not one beating the air and swinging at the wind, missing and not arriving at certain places and have always come up to the place of disappointment. When I go before my Heavenly Father, He assures you that you are not a disappointment. He assures you that you are the apple of His eye. As far as you think you've fallen away from Him, He is still God, your Heavenly Father. And He has entrusted and given you something so that you could have walk victorious in this life. And love does those things, yes. Love facilitates those things, yes. There's a responsibility for us to take up our part and move forward with the things of God, but it's only because of the one who created the whole system of authority. And because we might be lacking in understanding of that isn't a condemnation on your part, you just keep moving forward. There has to be a balance because, man, even after last week, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you because I know you guys are all real good and spectacular and well-disciplined and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, like straight out, you know, everybody eats in here, I would think. If you don't eat, we do a funeral service and stuff, you know what I mean? Because that only lasts so long and then you're going under, man. But anyway, you know, that's one thing that I deal with all the time is diet. And sometimes, you know what? I fast because I see biblical principles to fast. Fasting is not easy on the flesh. I don't do it to be some kind of charismatic, knowing this, that fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes you. And I know sometimes that if I get loose in certain areas of my life, that it shows up in other areas. But sometimes what I have to do is I have to fast because right here is the rightful dividing of center. Sometimes I need a hard yank over this way because I've been over this way for so long. I need a hard yank over this way so that I get back to center. Pastor Michael Laketic is very good at keeping balance because sometimes we can be like so dogmatic about this and doing that. Well, sometimes you need a hard yank over there so you get back to center. So this morning after last week's message, we're getting back to center a little bit by seeing the other side of this. Because you have a Heavenly Father that knows, and that all came from those verses that I shared in Matthew chapter 6. You have a Heavenly Father that knows. So the comfort, if He gives you ability, you know that your ability is yourself. So in other words, if He gives you dominion, you know within yourself your weaknesses. You know within yourself where you fall short. You know within yourself, oh man, this is hitting home, this trial on me right now. And I just, man, I feel like a sluggard. I feel so spiritually inept to handle this and deal with this right now. You know within yourself the falling short of responsibility. And the only thing that comes with that is condemnation. But there's no condemnation through those that are in Christ Jesus. And the confidence that we have is in Him for the fact that even though I fail, even though I fall short, there was one that came before me that lived a perfect life here on this earth that said, the victory that I stand in, I now give to you. And I'm not judging you or pointing a finger at you when you miss it or you fall short because I took the heat for that. I took the condemnation. I took the abusatory thoughts and the condemnation that comes from the evil one so that you could walk truly in victory. And I've exalted you to that position, whether the lack of integrity, the lack of understanding of things on earth, under the earth, above the earth, they recognize the position that you've been exalted to, not because you were perfect, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's raised you up and seated you at the right hand of the Heavenly Father with Him. Go ahead, devil, fight that. Because in like manner, knowing that we couldn't arrive to that position ourselves, Jesus brought us to that position. Devil, do something about that. Say something to me right now. because you're going to have to take it up with the one that put me here. You got a problem with my dominion. This wasn't my idea. I want to sit on the couch and wait for something good to happen to me. This wasn't my design. He exalted me when he died and rose again, and now I'm seated, according to Ephesians chapter 2, in heavenly places. Devil, you got a problem with that? You take it up with Jesus, because I know I fall short. I know what my weaknesses are. But through the love and the blood of our Heavenly Father, he raised you up and sat you there. Devil, you got a problem with that? You got to pacify that or go through Jesus Christ first before you start pointing a finger at me. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He goes up and stands before the throne. Oh, look where they missed it. Look what they're not doing right. Oh, look where they've made mistakes. And Jesus, our adversary, stands up on our behalf and says, yeah, but remember my blood? Devil, you have no footing right now to accuse them, even though, yes, they missed it. Because we know originally who authored sin into this world, and it was you. You're the deal right here. There was no sin until you showed up. Jesus annihilated every work and undid every work that you established here on earth. You're not pointing a finger at mankind because they're stepping into what you brought up. You understand me? There's levels of authority of our Heavenly Father concerning you that maybe you don't know about. We're being enlightened, brought into the word that we've been given dominion based on the fellowship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Devil's the accuser of the brethren. We make mistakes, but we go before our Heavenly Father. You made mistakes here today. You don't run from God. You don't stay out of church. You run to God, said, I'm a mess. I got these things going on. I've missed God, and my fellowship has been broken with you. Then the devil's got you. You go back to your rightful place, and you start saying in the midst of it that I've been given authority. I've been given dominion. I have fellowship with my Heavenly Father. You start speaking what God's created you to be, and you start occupying that place. And there's the force of authority right there that sometimes you think, oh, yeah, well, it's just taking ground. Well, yeah, taking ground spiritually, but it's stepping into your rightful position. Sometimes you have to force yourself. The enemy tries to occupy your ground and your position. And until you force your way into there, he'll just count it his own. We looked over there, and I'm going to... I got to get back to my notes here. In Matthew 11:12, it says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. To force, a forcer, to crowd oneself. Because something's been occupying your position. And that's the thing. You remember that to crowd oneself, and I like, because God speaks to me on my level, you need to get all up in that junk. And you remember when Scott came up here, and you got to crowd yourself because the devil's after your position. He's curious that if he can separate you from the Heavenly Father and keep you there, he's gained victory. But when you realize that you've been seated with him in heavenly places and you say, that is my rightful position, when something shows up to push you back, that's the time to force. That's the time to pursue. That's the time to make him step, because he's occupying ground that is yours. Sickness is trying to occupy ground that is yours. Depression is trying to occupy ground that is yours. And you need to crowd and put pressure on what is yours. Otherwise, the thief will come to try to steal that. That's our responsibility to do those things. The authority structure of heaven backing you up. Praise God. You remember in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, the disciples got in the boat. And we're going to get back onto the regular scheduled program here. And Jesus says, we're going to the other side. So they got in the boat. They started going across the water. Storm of hurricane proportion came. So they wake Jesus up after they know that they're going down. They said, Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? How can you say that? How can you say that? Carest thou not that we perish? Yeah, I brought you here to die. He says, where's your faith? Who told you that you were going to die? I told you we're going to the other side. Don't you realize when I was getting baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit descended as a dove and he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You remember that? You think that I'm here so that we could all die right now. Where's your faith? He rebuked the wind and the rain and the sea. Full well being the Son of God had a purpose here on earth. As long as I'm in fellowship with Him, we're not going down. There's something greater. They said, they stepped back and they said, who is this guy that he rebukes the wind and the rain and it obeys him? Who is this guy that he speaks to natural things? If he spoke to a man, if he spoke to an animal, something that physically had ears, I could respect that because then there might be some response. He walked in a realm of dominion where natural things, elements, had to submit to him. Jesus was sent for the purpose of redeeming man to their rightful place of fellowship with the Heavenly Father, restoring the dominion that God originally intended for them to have. And as long as they were in fellowship with Jesus, they were not going down because there was a purpose and destiny as the Son of the living God through Jesus Christ that as long as they stayed connected to Him, they would become victorious. The dominion was understood by Him. The disciples didn't understand it. That's why He told them, He's like, where's your faith? In other words, I expected you to respond in this manner because dominion is now being shown to you. You may not understand it, disciples. That's what we're saying. You may not understand the authority that you have. You may not understand the dominion fully, what you walk in yet. Disciples didn't either. Who is this guy that he speaks to natural things and they submit to him? But he turned to them. He says, where's your faith? I expected you to do this. Haven't you yet learned these things? That was in Mark chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Let's get into some of these things here. Mark chapter 11. You know this is the faith chapter right here. Mark chapter 11. It goes on when Jesus, in verse 12, he said, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Interesting enough, and you guys are well taught, you all know, this isn't a shock to anybody, but when a fig tree has leaves, that's the time that it would have figs as well. So that's why I said Jesus, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he went to eat. And when he got there, there was nothing. So he said, this is a breach of contract right here. This is not natural for this to not have figs. There was a need that this was supposed to provide and didn't. Therefore, he says, no man's going to eat of you hereafter. There was a curse that he spoke on that thing, cursed that tree. And we pick it up in verse 20, in 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. They were dumbfounded. They came back and said, yeah, Jesus, remember you went to eat yesterday and you cursed that tree? We knew you cursed it because we heard you say it. It says that he spoke that to the tree and the disciples heard it. You were addressing a tree. This wasn't a person standing there. You were speaking words to the tree. And this is what he says. He says, and Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So he goes on to say, you need to start speaking those things. This is how the faith of God works. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. They had eyewitness account in chapter 4 in the storm. And they were like, what manner of man is this that he commands the wind and the sea? Here, fast forward, in chapter 11, they come up to the fig tree. They were still dumbfounded. They were still, what? Peter's like, that tree that you cursed dried up from the roots. Like, we don't believe this happened. He says, have the faith of God. Whatever you say and whatever you speak, this is a tool that has been entrusted to you, and this is how it works. Allow me, Jesus says, to demonstrate this to you. And he goes on in verse 24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You receive them when you pray. But he says, you shall have whatever you say. Jesus, don't tell me that I can have something if it's not within my grasp. Because again, you'd be putting a lot of pressure on me to try to get something that I can't rightfully get. No, you can have this. Get the understanding that as I am walking these things out to meet a natural need because I'm hungry, I've given you that tool too. Just so you understand. In Matthew 6, your father knows. So I walk up to this, hey, man, there's going to be some food here. Wait a second. My father's given me provision for the course here on this earth. This fig tree is violating my purpose. That's not my God. That's not my father. No man's going to eat hereafter forever from that thing. Hey, Jesus, that fig tree dried up. Yeah, that's right, it dried up. It was in violation of my father God being my father and providing for me. If you need something, you need to start saying it. So he says, have the faith of God. We're talking about a need that went undone and there was a curse and a result. You are perplexed at the result. But it comes back to the love of the Heavenly Father that meets and supplies every single one of my needs. So that when something is in violation, I had to address it. I had to address the fig tree because it wasn't standing up to my position. Just like when we were in the boat and we were going to the other side, faith might have had to be an operation concerning getting us over to the other side, but it was to fulfill the purpose of my dominion here on earth that God, my Heavenly Father, has set up. And when natural things became in violation of that, I had to deal. The love of provision of the Heavenly Father, this is another result of it, and it comes down to our authority, but it has to be backed in the love of the Heavenly Father that I'm not left here as an orphan. I'm not going to pretend like God is so far separated from me that I'm figuring this out on my own. That's not the case. We might be juvenile in understanding sometimes because Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but we can get back in there. How do you do that? You start speaking the words out of your mouth. My Heavenly Father loves me. I'm in fellowship and union with my Heavenly Father. When I go before him to pray, there's one for you. I thank you, Father, that I love to pray. I love to spend time with my Heavenly Father when you just feel like laying down. You feel like quitting, throwing in the towel, but you decide to stand up with the word of God and you start declaring over your life those things that need to change. And you watch the provision line up just like Jesus did. Have the faith of God. I've put this within your grasp to utilize your faith to start changing some things here on this earth. Turn with me over there to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, you remember the Roman centurion. Matthew 8, we're going to start in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Let's stop right there. He says, even amongst our own people, I haven't seen faith like that. Why? This gentleman understood authority. He was a Roman centurion, over 100 men. He says, I tell this guy, go, and he goes. I tell this one to come, and it comes. Tell this one to stay, he stays. He says, Jesus, no need for you to come under my roof. Speak the word only. The word is the only thing that I need. The word is the only thing that you need to bring about your change. Man, I'll tell you what, we like to rely on the arm of the flesh, and I'm not discrediting wisdom. I'm not discrediting knowledge and stuff. We know, you know, things that we can do to cooperate. We're not here to frustrate the grace of God, like Paul says. We're here to cooperate with that movement. But Jesus says, I'm shocked. I haven't seen so great a faith like this. No, not even amongst all people, because this man knew authority. He spoke in authority. He's like, I've been trying to tell these disciples what authority looks like, but you've been raised and you have been grown in authority. So what you recognize, you and I are on the same page. I can talk to you intelligently about authority because you understand that. These disciples don't understand that yet, and we're trying to bring them up. That's why he says, even in all of Israel, even amongst all our own people, I haven't seen faith like that. And he was deemed as one of great faith because he understood his authority. But he said, speak the word only. Speak the word only. In other words, if you speak something and there is not a corresponding action by what you speak, there's consequences. There's consequences. If Jesus says something and it's not obeyed, there's consequences. Heaven and earth will turn upside down because his word will last forever to bring that thing to pass, whatever it is, through the word of God. And it's the same thing. He said, Romans said, hey, the way that I command men, I know you command sickness and disease. He says, speak the word only. If you speak the word, that's my title deed to what I have. If I go there, my servant's still sick, I'm bringing him back to you, and I'm going to point accusation at you that your word didn't work. Jesus is like, man, you're bring it on, brother, because we're about to go to town. Your servant will be healed. When he went home, the servant was healed. And he's like, this is great faith. Finally, you understand what this is all about. Backed by heaven. You get the word of God, whatever you're believing God for, you take the word of God, and this is backed by heaven. You take what God said to you, whatever promises, sickness, disease, you know, mental anxiety, panic, worry, your wayward family, whatever it is you're believing God for, your trials, your tribulation, your current living situation, your circumstances, your finances, whatever it is, you take the word of God and you start speaking that word of God. Something's got to move. See, that's why, you know, when you crowd yourself and you use your dominion, yeah, you got to position yourself properly in that, but you need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and start going crazy with it. You need to start taking the word of God and start forcing change by the authority based on the fellowship with your heavenly Father. Otherwise, you're left to your own arm of the flesh to try to figure out how you're going to do this. And so oftentimes, and I'm let me step right up. I haven't been speaking as much as I should. And, you know, it's not something that's like sometimes, you know, we weigh the cost of like, oh, man, you know, we're all busy. I get that. You know, we all have lives. We, you know, the days seem like they're going by way too fast. And then all of a sudden, man, I didn't get a chance to read and pray and stuff like that. I get it. We're all busy. But if you have scripture, it doesn't take long to release your faith. And in Mark 11:24, it says, believe those things that you say will come to pass. You'll have those things. You believe that you receive when you say those things. So you don't need to keep asking those things. You rejoice and start praising that you've received those things after you've released your faith. And you stand on the word of God, but you praise and worship for the things that you've already received. So I thank God I'm walking in full health. Thank you, Father. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness in your body. By his stripes, I'm healed. Above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You start speaking scriptures concerning the health of your body, and you release your faith, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, sickness and disease, you're trespassing on this temple. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. From that point on, you stand in a place of authority, and you praise God. Thank you, Father, that I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that I stand on your word, that by your stripes I'm healed. You don't ask him again to do what you've already asked him to do. You stand in the place of authority and you rejoice that he has heard you. So what is today? June 22nd, 2025 at, what is that? 11:35. At 11:35 on June 22nd, 2025, I release my faith and I believe that I received my healing. So from that point on, I am now praising and rejoicing 2 weeks down the road. Hey devil, on June 22nd, 2025 at 11:35, I released my faith and I declared for sickness and disease to get off this body. You need to recognize that. You got a problem with that, you deal with him. I'm going to rejoice and praise and get myself back in fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I'm going to rejoice to the one who inhabits our praises, to the one that I can enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I come before my Heavenly Father and I position myself that this has already been done based on the authority that he's entrusted me with. I acted on that and I'm releasing my faith and now I'm praising and worshiping him. That's what you need to do. Baby steps. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is good to not extend you beyond your faith. He's good to navigate you through those things. And it's like, you know, faith is the substance of things. We're not withdrawing from a bank account of faith that is already depleted. Faith comes by hearing, and that's what we're doing today. We're hearing, we're learning, we're growing in these things so that we can rightfully stand in our position of authority, start commanding those things, and watching those change, the change happen. I don't even know where I want to go. Yeah, that's a good spot. Luke chapter 4, if you will. Luke chapter 4. I just want to lay these things out. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, because this is our position. You remember this? I preached this not too long ago. Maybe it was the last time that I ministered. I think I touched on this. Luke 4:16, and says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Preach is mentioned several times in this passage. And that word preach is very interesting, and we need to get some understanding behind that word preach. That word preach means to proclaim or to declare. So Jesus says, "No, I'm going to come in with a big old, sword. I'm just going to start going crazy and hammering." No, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news." Another rendering of that would be herald. Now, herald can be a noun, like a person would be a herald, like before the king, you know, they would announce or something like that. But then there's also the verb of being a herald. And that means to give notice, announce, to signal the approach of. I like that. Call your shot. Call your shot in the authority. Say, "This is what I see in the Word of God, and I'm calling this right now. I can walk in health. There's my goal right there. I'm going to release or herald and speak and proclaim those things till I see the manifestation of it." Herald also means to be a sign that something important and oftentimes good is starting to happen. To make something publicly known, especially by celebrating or praising it. A sign that something will happen or change. June 22nd, 2025, That was the day of my change. You remember, devil, when I was in church and I released and proclaimed my faith, and now I got all of heaven backing me up in my authority because I released my faith and I believed that I received. So I go back to when I released my faith and I'm standing here praising and glorifying God. And I'm saying that I'm walking in health. I'm walking in joy. I'm walking in peace. I'm walking in patience and long suffering. My family is blessed. My pocketbook is blessed. My wallet's blessed. Everything that I put my hands to is blessed. Opportunities are blessed. Oh, glory to God. You start moving in those things and it's only going to happen based on what you say. No, I don't want to confront anything. I just want to sit back, like I say, in the shade, someplace, like Adam. He was given dominion. That means just sit back in the shade with a little drink with a little umbrella in it and stuff. Kick your feet up, sit in the cool of the day in fellowship with God. Nope, dominion. You have an enemy. That can't be undone. The only thing that was done was he was stripped and robbed of all his power and authority, and it was given to you. Waiting on your movement, waiting on your action. We're not helpless or alone. We're not abandoned. We're not orphans trying to figure this out. We have the greater one on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost, to help us through. I'm telling you, everything here on earth is waiting and will respond to your command and your voice. Jesus was trying to express that as his example to these disciples. Wait. He commanded the wind? That's weird. He's talking to a tree? That's weird. I can understand this Roman centurion because at least he's talking to people. I can tell my kids, come here or stay there or don't do that or do this, and they respond to it. But a plant? You know what I mean? That's just some weird stuff. And he says, this Roman centurion, we're speaking the same language. He understands authority. Speak the word only. Give me a word. Give me a word. Where is it concerning this in my life? Because if I got a word, I got a title deed to what I'm believing God for. Give me the word. I stand on that word. I start taking my authority with it. I press myself into fellowship with my Heavenly Father, the one who never left me nor forsakes me, the one that calls me the apple of his eye, the one that desires to be in fellowship, the one that sent Jesus to not only establish our authority and our dominion of the law of original intent from the Garden of Eden, but also one that ripped the veil to the Holy of Holies and gave access that we could walk rightfully back into fellowship with him, that we can be standing right there in headquarters with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, and we can get the downloads strategically here on earth to be victorious, to conquer, to take ground, to win souls, to change lives, to get the word and change a region, a city, a community, to start moving forward with the things of God. It's waiting on our movement, and it's time that the church recognizes these things and starts taking ground. Well, we're waiting for God to do something. He's waiting for you to do something. He's waiting for me to do something. It's time I start doing something. I don't know about you. Mark chapter 16, we're going to end right here. Mark chapter 16, just want to preface this. He says this. In verse 15, she says unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He says, go into the world, preach the gospel. Proclaim. Start declaring some things. Well, man, let me just start with my own realm of influence. That's not just for you. Don't hoard the dominion and authority that's given to you and keep it for your own, you know, comfort and delight. Yes, use it for yourself and release your faith. But the picture is far greater than your own bubble that sometimes circumstance draws us in. Man, I'm just trying to make it through another day. Well, yeah, rightfully so. But what's on the inside of you influences the realm around you, in your workplace, at school, wherever you're at. Your the realm of influence that you have needs your word. Amen. I don't know if this has all helped you. This has been a scatter here today, but there was just some things that I saw that dropped in me that just needed to come out. at the beginning of service there, so I appreciate you being hungry and helping me get some of those things out. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. Father, we thank you that you've given us dominion. We thank you that we have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means shall hurt us or harm us. But Father, we thank you that just like Adam was crowned and given that dominion, that Father, you were still there as a point of fellowship, seeking to fellowship with Adam in the garden. And that Father, first and foremost, you are center in our lives. And we take the attitude rightfully to posture ourselves in the dominion, but sometimes, Father, we just recognize that we need your fellowship. That we can be still your children and kids coming before you to fellowship, to hear your voice, to get leading in direction and an instruction. Father, we're grateful that you gave Jesus Christ that the dominion that was stolen, the sin barrier that separated us, Jesus abolished through his blood, that we have free access to the throne. And we thank you and we praise you for it. If you're here today with all heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, maybe you hear a message like this and you're like, well, man, I understand. Man, I've been going through trials. I've been going through tribulations and circumstances. And I understand that you're talking about dominion. I don't really rightfully know what that is or what are the very first steps with the things of God. Well, that's very simple. Just as I read in Matthew, he talks about the heathen. The heathen are the people that are not born again, that are not saved. But he says, your Father knows that you have need of these things before you ask him. Meaning there is an entering into the family of God. And that comes by only one way, through Jesus Christ and accepting that he paid the price for your sin. If you're here today and you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. It's simple. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. It's not about the good works you've done, whether you think you've qualified yourself. It's by sincerely asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything like that. But I want to know who I'm praying for. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all I'm going to do is simply ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then we'll all pray as a congregation, and right there in your seat, you can accept Jesus as your Lord. Is there anyone here today that's never accepted Jesus as your Lord, and today's the day that you want to do that? Can I just see your hand? Is there anybody here that's never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and today's the day that you want to do that? Can I see your hand? Is there anybody? Father, I don't see any hands, so I just trust that we're all family here today, that Father, we've all accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviors. If there's anyone here that's never, Father, accepted you, I pray that they wouldn't part from this earth until they've made you Lord, as well as those that are watching by live stream. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hey, before we dismiss, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on him for a minute. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. We leave change here today, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.